Before we get to the podcast, I wanted to invite you to the Pipeline Conference. The theme of this year's conference will be succession at every level. The event will be held October 11 through 13 here in Nashville, Tennessee. The focus of this event will be succession all the way from senior leadership at a church to the preschool and even the parking volunteers. That means that this conference is for your whole leadership team and any volunteers who you'd like to join you. Our speakers will include John Piper, Bob Russell, H.B. Charles, Tom Rayner, and more. Again, this event is October 11 through 13 here in Nashville. We will have separate coaching days on October 11 and 13, with the main event being the 12th. These days provide your team a chance to get focused, engaged training from our team. We have early bird discounts running through July 31st, so there's still time to take advantage of these, along with our fantastic group rates if you want to bring your team. Go to myleadershippipeline.com to learn more about the event and to register your team. Again, that's myleadershippipeline.com, and don't forget to take advantage of our early bird and group discounts before July 31st.
You're listening to the 5 Leadership Questions. I'm your host, Todd Atkins, and I'm joined here today once again by Eric Geiger and Kevin Peck, and we're walking through the book this week, Designed to Lead. Today, we are talking about constructs. Yes.
Yep. Don't hang up yet. Don't hang up yet.
No, wait.
It's gonna be more interesting than it sounds.
Is construct actually even a noun?
If so,
what does it refer to in this context?
Well, we needed a third C. Let's just be honest. Conviction, culture, constructs. Constructs would be systems that help accomplish the mission. And so the mission of leadership development, the conviction of leadership development, a construct would be a tool or a system that helps put it into play, that helps operationalize it. Think about scaffolding on the side of a building as construction's going up. That's a construct. And so that scaffolding that is used to build a project, it's not the project, but it helps the project happen. So the construct isn't the end game. It's simply a tool to help the building happen. The construct and leadership development, like a leadership pipeline, it's not about having a pipeline as much as it's a tool to help get to the end result of people being built up.
Good deal. Kevin, would you like to add to that? Is this your word?
Well, I will tell you, it's a dictionary word. That means a physical thing that is deliberately built or formed.
Yeah, we're talking about
your ACT.
The word is actually in the dictionary. I mean, you're making it sound like you guys came up with this crazy word. I don't even know if it's a noun.
Construct.
It's in the dictionary.
Yeah, it's not like Brangelina. We didn't just like grab some words.
All right. Well, what are some additional examples, Kevin? What are some additional examples of leadership development constructs in a church?
Yeah, they're real simple. Like some real simple constructs of leadership development in a church would be anything from like an elder development like program. So, I mean, a construct could be something as simple as a class or a Bible. It could be something as simple as planning out 4 training sessions for your children's workers. It could be something as simple as a discipleship program that has a series of curriculum that you train and coach a coach to take a group of people through. Any of those things would be considered constructs because they have substance and form for you to be able to deliver content, to be able to deliver experiences, and to be able to deliver coaching inside of it. So any environment, any program, any plan for you to deliver content, coaching, and experiences to people who are being developed.
So help me understand. Okay, so you use the word that some of us don't like, which is program.
All right.
How do you ensure that you think steps, not programs?
Yeah, you know, I think one of the easiest ways to do this practice called envisioning. What are you looking for in the end? Try to see it, and then basically try to reverse engineer it. So, and with regards to leadership development, we look at a leader and say, what kind of skills would this leader need to do this particular job if they were fully formed? What kind of character would this person need to have if they were fully formed for this job? What kind of knowledge would this person need if they were to do this job well, if they were fully formed? And then actually try to make the list of those characteristics and then engineer it back and then begin to say, okay, now I want to develop training for each one of those in particular, what we would call competencies or just attributes. And then I would develop assessment. And so for us, that's how we develop a plan is we see what we want to do a particular job. And so rather than saying, who do I have and how do I write the job description around them, it's what leadership opportunity do I have? And what would the ideal person, what skills would they need at a bare minimum? What character would they need at a bare minimum? And what knowledge would they need at a bare minimum in order to do the job effectively? And then being able to actually build out a program, as it were, which is just environments to be able to train on those competencies and then to be able to assess on those competencies and give feedback.
Good deal. I love how you talked about going from starting at the end and working your way back to the beginning, because I think so many times as church leaders, we'll look at a system or a process and we don't understand how a volunteer can't come through this process and see what the next step is. It's easy, obvious, and strategic to us, but that's because we already know the math. And when we do it, left to right, we tend to jump over the steps. But when you do it backwards, like you were talking about, it's much easier, I think, to see, where a pipeline is clogged or where you might be missing something if you just move through it from the beginning to the end, the way your brain usually works. Okay, so Eric, construct will strike many as overly pragmatic. So how do they fit into a spirit-led ministry?
I wrote down a note on my look at this. I have no idea what it says. So the reason I have this long dramatic pause is because Todd was kind enough to email me the notes ahead of time, and I wrote down
the notes ahead of time.
Oh, he emailed them to me, and he just knows I like
you
to be
got
a little
them
prepared.
Too.
Yeah, you never open your email. To get Kevin to respond, you got to email him and then text him. Hey, bro, check your email.
Not used to people wanting my opinion.
So I wrote something down here, and I have no idea.
It looks like is third thing.
Is third thing. Oh, I know what it means. All right, I got it. Sorry for the confusion, another C word. Let me get some clarity when there's confusion about culture, conviction, and constructs. It's the third thing. So it begins with, we're saying constructs are important, but they're the third thing we talk about. We begin with conviction, and if you really have conviction, you're going to want to have a tool that helps you get the conviction accomplished. Go back to the scaffolding example. I mean, when you see scaffolding on the side of a building as the building's being constructed, you don't say, man, those guys care more about that scaffolding than they care about the building. Look at those guys. They got scaffolding. And no, the scaffolding's a tool for the building. And so a construct, if it's just held in the right perspective, it's viewed as a tool to help carry out the conviction of leadership development. But I understand the question, because there's a lot of ministry leaders who would feel any system then quenches or even worse, trumps the Holy Spirit. And we're not saying that at all. God obviously can move and operate and work in any way he wants. He's not bound by any system. However, he has chosen throughout history to work in systems. So you're listening as the circulatory system in your body is working perfectly, and as the solar system is holding the sun at the exact distance it needs to be held from the Earth's surface. And if you're in seminary, you read your systematic theology textbook.
There you go. You just got a couple people. Finally perked up.
I grabbed them.
Systematic theology.
So God's not bound by a system, but he's often worked in systems. So constructs, obviously, they're the tools. They're not the end game. But God uses systems to create culture. He uses systems to allow convictions to be fleshed out in a local church context. And so that just view the constructs as tools.
Kevin, how do constructs actually inform culture?
Yeah. So, I mean, the way that kind of culture works is not only can you form culture, but culture is always forming you. So we're both kind of producers of cultures and the product of cultures all at the same time. It's a very kind of circular concept. So when my daughter comes into our family, is she conformed to my family's culture, but because of her uniqueness in our culture, she actually changes our culture that is now kind of aggregates some of who she is as an individual into what it is. And the same works for any kind of culture. And so any part of culture influences the whole, and the whole kind of influences the part. And so a construct can either enable a desired piece of culture, or it can resist a desired piece of culture. And so what's really important is to be able to determine and take a look at constructs on a regular basis and just kind of ask the question, is this thing actually accomplishing what we want for our culture, or is it maybe hurting it? Mm. And I would say that actually can change over time. I think the biggest kind of, one of the biggest, subject matters, at least over the last couple of decades, has been Sunday school versus home-based small groups. All at the end of the day, Sunday school at the end of the day is a construct. Small groups and homes are a construct. Now the question is are they helping or hurting? Well, my answer is, it depends on the actual church. As churches kind of were large and city-centered with a population that was spread out all over the city, maybe that construct was actually getting in the way of developing new leaders, because maybe people with only certain types of jobs or people at certain income level could live close enough to the city to be able to come to the Sunday school model on a regular basis. And you can see where the construct there might actually start driving the culture to be a culture that is a self-selected group of people. And then over time, those people actually begin to interact with the culture, and the culture just begins to more mirror a certain segment of the population because they're the only ones who can fit in the construct. On the flip side, you kind of move out into small group kind of based, and you might eliminate another population while including a different population. And so you can just kind of see where a construct is always both shaping culture and shaped by your culture. And so the question is it working for the culture that you want to architect? That's really the question to ask. And so we just kind of keep saying over and over again, we kind of take as a knockoff of kind of the John Owen be killing sin or sin be killing you. We say be shaping culture, because culture will always be shaping you.
I like it. I like it.
That's good stuff. All right, Eric. So what are some of the pitfalls of being overly construct focused?
So here's a pitfall you gotta be careful of. So if you have there's two constructs that I use frequently. One would be a simple ministry organization chart. So you have your student ministry, your kids ministry, your groups ministry, and you have all the leaders, all the people that make that ministry happen. You have I'm not referring to staff. I'm talking the whole everybody. And you see where they are. You have layers of leadership, so you know how you have to develop people at different places in the ministry, different places in the organization. And then you have a leadership pipeline. That's another example of a construct. If you're not careful, if you don't retain that the sacred why of why you're doing these things, you can just start filling boxes. You can just start. I'm going to put so and so here. I'm going to assign this content to this person, this content to this person. And so you've got to always, as a ministry leader, continually repent and come back to the sacred why of what you do. Otherwise, a construct can just be mindless execution. Mm. However, if you don't have a construct, you'll have this conviction, and you won't have a tool to help you build it.
That's a good word. So the processes are for the people aren't for the process.
Yep. Yep. You don't use people to build your process. You use a process to serve people.
Good deal. All right, Kevin. So how can leaders determine if their church has effective constructs in place? Like, how do you go back and check and audit these things to see if they have effective constructs in place?
Yeah, I think the short answer is measure the right things. If we're talking about developing leaders, find what kind of leaders you want to develop, and then measure over time if you're getting them. So once you have a plan in place, you should be producing the quality and the quantity of leaders that that your system is designed for. And so a quick way is just to make goals and ambitions for that. You know, so for one, at the Austin Stone is we want to send 100 international church planter team members among unreached people. We want to send 100 every 2 years. So it's a goal. It's a measurable that we can say, listen, by God's Spirit, only is it going to happen. And so maybe God's Spirit causes it not to happen 1 year, but maybe it was a broken leadership pipeline for producing that kind of leader. And so we get to ask that question every time we look at that mark and say, you know, is something broken? Because we not only have a vision, we not only have a conviction, we have the right culture because we've seen it in the past. We know that we have the right constructs in the past. And then if we're able to measure it and then just kind of look and see where we fall over here, we're going to kind of know, hey, something's off in the pipeline, or something's off in the culture, or something's off in just our convictions. Have they died for it? But we're allowed to kind of access that. That set of questions by looking simply at a measurable. And so for most people, one of the only couple of measurables we actually have in church is like how many people show up on Sunday and how much people give on a Sunday. And so if you measure it, you're going to tend to get it over time if you're smart, solve problems. Leadership development is not significantly different in that role.
Eric, I want to ask you one last question that's kind of a follow-up to this. You know, I know having worked with you previous to Lifeway and working with you for the last 4 years here, you're a huge fan of case studies. And part of the reason why is because of understanding effective constructs. How do you use case studies to help that be more effective?
Well, I kind of hate admitting to using case studies because usually when I use them, it's because something went wrong. So oftentimes on the team that I lead here, we have an incredible team. I love the players that we get to serve alongside and the folks that I get to lead. It's just awesome. However, things don't always go as you map them out. And so sometimes when they don't and they involve multiple teams, I'll ask for a case study to be done that would chronicle what took place, and we could learn from it, and we could then try to find holes in the process, try to find things in the system that need to be changed so that isn't replicated. And I've tried to do a better job as a leader to not just be the one who's bringing pain and rebukes in those moments, but now I've started to ask for case studies to be done when things go incredibly well and incredibly right. And so when you do a case study, you're able to look and see, is there clarity? Have things been made clear? You're able to look and see, is the process clean? Is there movement through our process? Is the system working? And so a case study can help you. Can help you audit, you know, can help you look at what's taking place.
Good deal. Well, I think we'll wrap it up there for constructs. And tomorrow we will have the final day of Design to Lead Week, and we will be putting all of this together. So the leadership is locus, the conviction, culture, and constructs. Okay, you've talked about a lot of stuff, but how does that practically get applied to a church and take effect? So that's what we'll be looking at tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the 5 Leadership Questions podcast. Don't forget to visit myleadershippipeline.com to learn more about our fall conference, October 11 through 13 here in Nashville, and to take advantage of our early bird and group discounts. Again, that's myleadershippipeline.com, and the early bird deadline is July 31st. So move quickly to take advantage of these discounts.